Good evening. This is Bill Blatchford with Blatchford Solutions with another A-Book call. The A-Book calls were started after we wrote the book, The A-Book, where we portrayed 23 offices that were successful in our program. This call tonight is brought to you by Climb for a Cause, Bonadent Dental Laboratory, Rocket Dog Dental Marketing, and Care Credit. And so our special guest tonight is Dr. Christina Blatchford. So I think she's a very special guest because she happens to be our daughter, and we are very pleased to have her with us. I also want to mention that Climb for a Cause, which is a program started by Danny Bobrow in Chicago at American Dental Marketing, where Climb for a Cause supports two children's clinics, one in Guatemala, one in Nepal. My daughter and I are going to go down to the one in Nepal, in Guatemala a year from this July. This year, the mountain that we're going to climb is the Middle Sister here in Central Oregon. It's about a 20-mile hike. It'll be 12 hours, and so it's about a 4,000-foot climb. Not a technical climb, although you will have an opportunity to put on crampons and rope up to cross a glacier. Last year, we climbed Half Dome in Yosemite, and that's the group of climbers that made it to the top. And we have a goal this year to raise $100,000. For these children's clinics. And so if you're interested in that program that we're doing September 3rd to the 5th, and on the night of the 3rd, there will actually be a party here at our house. And then on the 4th, we'll have to take a group of climbers up the mountain. I will be going on the Saturday. Danny Bobrow will be going on Sunday. And so if you're interested in that, go to climbforacause.org and look, go to that and register for that. And if you can't find that website, simply go to the Blatchford Solution, blatchford.com, and we can help you with that. So tonight we have Dr. Christina Blatchford, happens to be our daughter, who decided to go to dental school after a couple other degrees. And tonight what she's going to do is she's going to tell us about what she did, why she went into dentistry, jokingly how long she's been on the Blatchford program, and, of course, how she found her practice. She's been in that practice about 8 months now, and what she's doing there. So I'm going to ask Christina to start. Tell us about your Blatchford journey. I mean, before we started this call, we joked you've been in it for 38 years in the program.
Yes.
But tell us how you decided to become a dentist and what you had done prior to that, and then
sure.
How we found this practice for you.
Yeah. Well, so I had been working as an interior designer, and I worked for a large interior design and architecture firm here in Portland for about 5 years, and I enjoyed that, and I worked on a lot of medical and dental offices, but I found myself feeling not very challenged and didn't really enjoy working for someone else. And so I looked at some different career options and kept coming back to dentistry, and I didn't want to tell my parents that I was interested in dentistry until I was for sure interested in dentistry and really felt committed to that, because I knew that they would be extremely excited and their excitement might overshadow my direction. So I'm excited to find a career that I think is a great fit for my personality. I really enjoy running my practice and being the one that's in charge. I enjoy working with patients and getting to know them. And another part that I really enjoy about dentistry is constantly learning, and that keeps me excited. So when I graduated from dental school, I knew that I wanted to find a practice. I knew that I didn't want to be an associate at another dental practice, because I knew that I wouldn't be able to do larger cases from the get-go, or, you know, now 8 months in, I'm doing a couple larger cases.
And you've taken some CE courses too.
Right, and I just finished the first treatment planning one course that Dr. John Coyce gives up at the Coyce Center, and that was a perfect time for me to take that treatment planning course 8 months into my practice. So that's something that I really enjoy. And so in looking for a practice, I looked for a practice that was pretty steady in an area that was kind of considered to be blue collar. And
so, Christina, tell us how you how we found a practice. We started looking actually about 18 months before you graduated and started evaluating practices. What were some of the characteristics we were looking for in this practice? And by the way, she is practicing in Milwaukee, which is a suburb of Portland, Oregon.
So we were looking for a practice that had a good amount of new patients. So the particular practice that I found has steadily about 30 new patients a month, which is great, and a practice that is pretty heavy in crown and bridge and restorative work, which is what I really enjoy doing. I wanted to make sure that the practice didn't do a lot of the things that I don't really enjoy doing, which are extractions and endo. So we really looked at the numbers.
So there also was no income from things like orthodontics or implants, things, in other words, that you didn't have the skill to do. And,
exactly.
And we also looked for a practice that had relatively small staff. We only had 3 people. And we looked for a practice that did not need a lot of renovations and new equipment going in. Christina happens to be left-handed. And so we had to do a little bit of a retrofit, you could say, but that was very inexpensive. But the equipment was about 5 years old. The practice had been redecorated about 5 years ago. The practice actually has been in the same basic location for about 40 years. Two owners, a lady owned it previous to a man owning it for about 5 years, and he was retiring and leaving. Okay, so we found a practice in a very, pretty much a blue-collar, bread-and-butter type practice, I would say. It wasn't one that was emphasizing cosmetics, and a lot of you may be surprised to hear me say that, but first off, Christine, at that point in her career, right out of school, did not have that skill yet, and we wanted something that she could do, and also we wanted a practice with a pretty steady income. This practice was doing about $50,000 a month, average $600,000 a year for the last 3 years. So we moved into that practice. Why don't you talk about the transition? I was actually Christina. I've never picked up a handpiece in that practice and won't. Although when she was in school, she kept saying, "I want you to come in and help me." Well, by the time she finished school, she didn't need that, and I was relieved. So tell us a little bit about the transition. It was August 1st of August last year. What happened?
Sure. So the previous dentist was done. He retired on a Thursday, and I met him. I came in on the day before to meet him. I had not met him during the transition time, although I did some correspondence with him previously. But that was the first time that I met him, and we talked about a few things. I actually placed that day. I placed a couple of implant crowns on the receptionist with him there. So that was nice. Nice way to be introduced into the practice. And then on that Monday, then he was done and no longer there, and I started. And what really
so
helped
you introduce
me with...
The big question that people have is, if you don't have the selling doctor stay for a while, and by the way, another thing that we did is the selling doctor stopped doing crown and bridge preps 3 weeks before the transition so that all of that work would be seated before he left, so he wasn't going to have to come back. Now, many of you may be surprised to find out that Christina did not actually meet the doctor and spend a lot of time together. We really didn't, and I don't think that's necessary. Tell us how you introduced yourself to patients that Monday morning.
Sure. Well, what I did was I had Kay Puccetti help me, and she's the consultant with Blatchford Solutions. She helped put together a letter for me that actually was sent out to all of the patients, and the letter was introducing me and in the voice of the previous dentist and the previous dentist to prove this, introducing me and letting the patients know that he was excited and pleased that I was going to be taking over his practice. And so that was nice because the majority of patients already had received this letter, and So they were introduced to me first in that way. And then Kate helped me put together some verbiage on what I would say to patients. And that sounds pretty elementary, but when you are a first-time practice owner right out of school, you need a little bit of guidance, and even on the smaller things. And so she gave me some verbiage to she put together some verbiage for me to talk with the patients and introduce myself to patients. And
what she have you say?
That made it really comfortable. And what did I say? I said, "Hello, my name is Dr. Christina Blatchford, and I'm your new dentist, and I'm really excited to be here."
Very good, and thank you for coming
then
in.
Then I asked them some questions about themselves, and got them talking about them about themselves, and so then that was great. So it was just a perfect thing to do. And the very first day, Kay came up with this idea that I thought was very, very smart, and that was that we had a mock day the first day, so that we saw patients, relatives of my team members, and with no charge to them for treatment. And so it was a really nice, easy, comfortable day of getting used to my assistant, getting used to my hygienist, how we do everything at the front desk. And so
kind of a dress rehearsal.
I would highly recommend that, and I think that that was a great idea that Kay had, because it just made it comfortable so that then the next day when we saw patients who I would say were real patients, we already had systems in place, and we didn't have to ask questions in front of patients of, "Oh, what do I do now when you do this?" or that type of thing. So it was
that dress
nice,
rehearsal
I think,
really
was,
worked. So
yeah,
let's talk
absolutely.
Just a little bit about some of the benefits, perhaps, and I may talk about this a little bit more than you, the benefits of actually buying a practice as opposed to becoming an associate. And here's the things that we discussed, is that as an associate, you generally are not going to get your choice of cases. You're going to be doing the cases that the senior doctor gives you to do, when they're going to be the smaller cases. Also, the fact that you probably wouldn't make very much money paying off school loans, etc., and the only way to get started on that is to get in and get a practice and start creating some equity. Some demographic changes going on is we are, right now, there are about 6,000 dentists a year who are retiring. And we are only graduating about 4,000 dentists a year, and half of those 4,000 are women, and only about half of those women are actually buying practices. And so we have about 3,000 buyers for 6,000 sellers. And so it's really a good time to find a practice. Now, in late 2009, pretty much all of 2009, there were very few practices for sale, because a lot of doctors who were at the traditional retirement age were taking their practices off the market because their pension plan, their 401k portfolio had suffered a bit, and so they were hanging on to their practices a little bit longer. So there weren't a lot of practices to look at. But what I'm seeing out there nationally right now is more practices are coming on the market. I will say this, that because there has been a little bit of a shortage of people actually selling, it's a little bit of a, the prices are just a little bit inflated, but that's what it is. It's a supply and demand. So you can make a practice work if the net income of a practice is established, and that's everything that the doctor takes out as a benefit, and it should be verified with tax returns. That practice is worth between 1.5 and 2 times that net, just depending on the area. And if you're in a metropolitan area within that 25-mile circle of the dental school, and there's not a lot of growth potential for population, about the only way to get started is to simply buy a practice. In other words, if you're in a high-growth area, you might be able to start from scratch. But in a metropolitan area without room for growth, you better plan on buying a practice. There are a few areas in the country where I would advise someone to start from scratch, but those would be rapid-growth areas. However, that occurred over the last 10 years in areas like Las Vegas, Scottsdale, Southern Florida, for example, and there have been many practices fail, or actually a few practices fail in some of those areas because the bubble burst just about as fast as it inflated. So she looked at that as an opportunity, And the other thing that we looked at is transition this way, of having a smooth transition, no transition period, that is with the seller staying for a period of time. And as a consultant and coach, I've been involved in several of those situations. And what generally happens is the young buyer comes in, who now has all of the responsibility, that is the payment and the payroll and the accounts payable, and has no authority. That is, the senior doctor, the seller, makes all the major decisions, the staff is still loyal, and the patients are still loyal, and so you have no authority. So we looked at that, and we thought this would be the best transition. Stina, how's that worked out for you on that transition?
Well, it's worked out great. You know, I think that what you were talking about before is really rings true, that if I were to I did have a couple opportunities to become an associate, and what I found out when I was checking with the dentist what their practice was like and that type of thing is one of the questions that I asked is, are you turning away patients? And they said, oh, well, no, we're not. And so that becomes a situation where as an associate you are starting a practice within a practice, so that's pretty tough. So you know McDonald's is established, and then Burger King decides to come in and go ahead and start right there, right in that McDonald's, and that just becomes a real tough situation.
It does. So you had another question you asked too, I believe.
The other question that I asked is really what cases I would be getting to do, or what exactly would I be doing, and also the hours, and it really for the couple associateships that I was looking at, the hours were such that, of course, they included Fridays and less than part or less than full time, and just less than what I would like to do. And the other thing to think about is that all of the team members are going to be loyal to the other dentist. So if you have the selling dentist or the dentist that you're associating with still there, the team members will be loyal to that dentist in such a way that, you know, they'll go ahead and book the larger cases for the dentist that they're loyal to or that they really know. And so that becomes a real tough situation. And so it seems pretty bold to go ahead and buy a practice right out of school, but it was a great decision for me. And I really feel like it was perfect and just right.
I think another question that you ask in the two associate positions, so the one question Christina mentioned is, how many patients are you turning away? And the answer was zero. And another question that's very important for you to ask if you're considering an associate position is, exactly how much of your current income would you be willing to give up if I joined you as an associate? And of course the answer was zero again. And see, we're not turning away patients, and the senior doctor is not willing to give up part of that personal income, then it becomes real confusing. Exactly how are you going to get paid? Because unless you're creating treatment that's not being done, creating more income, there is no money, since he's not willing to give any up. So of the things that you've done in your practice, now you attended a Dynamo, which is our first seminar, just a couple months after you got into that practice. What were a couple of things that you learned at the Dynamo that you've put in place? Because you've made some team changes too. So why don't you talk about what you learned and where you went from there?
Okay, sure. Well, I'll start with where I left off after day one, and that is that I really kept everything the same for the first few months. And so I wanted to really get to know patients and have them feel comfortable with me. And so even down to the plants in the waiting area, I kept everything the same. So that was, I think, really comfortable for patients.
You kept all the team members.
Exactly. I kept all the team members the same, and that was great for the first few months. And then I went to a Dynamo, and I had two of my team members go, and one did not go to that. And I started growing and moving in a forward direction that one of my team members was no longer moving with me, and that was the one that was no longer, it didn't go to the Dynamo. And so then I had to make a team change and find a person that really fit my direction and shared my same goals. And so that was a big transition for me, and I was pleasantly surprised to find that there are quite a few people that are very well qualified out there that really did share my excitement and direction. So that now is really great. And so
do you think you would have made that change as early as you did had you not had some people behind you coaching you a bit?
No, I don't think that I would have. I think that I would have just stayed with the existing, and even though I knew that it wasn't working very well, I would have probably kind of put up with it. And I really felt fortunate that I do have Blatchford Solutions. I have, of course, my dad to call upon, and Kay is a terrific consultant, and so they've really done a great job in guiding me through transition. And I think that if I were to think of maybe a year ago when I was just looking at buying this practice, and if I looked forward to see where I am now with the practice in terms of having some team changes and that type of thing, I would be absolutely amazed that I was able to get this going in the direction that it's going.
So the practice has grown quite a bit. It's grown gradually.
Right.
The first month you were down a little bit from what that other doctor had been doing. I think it's been bigger ever since. You've almost doubled the production of the practice on a monthly basis since you started.
Yeah.
The team now is bonusing on the last 2 months have actually earned a bonus.
Right.
That we're using 20% for staff overhead, and they're this last month they were what, 10,000 over BAM?
Exactly. So it's really exciting, and some of the things that I learned at the Dynamo to get me to the point where that was happening, the doubling of the monthly production, and having really kind of smooth days.
What would you say a couple things from the Dynamo that you learned?
What are the couple things from the Dynamo that I learned? One, I learned about block booking, and that is keeping 2-hour blocks open a time in the morning to do larger cases. So doing two or three crowns, prepping two or three crowns in the morning or more, and having the afternoon be for other restorative needs, fillings and the like, and new exams, and keeping our days exactly like that has really helped us streamline. But more importantly, I raised our fees. And so that was something that I learned at the Dynamo, and I had Kay help me put that together. She suggested fees for our area based on her knowledge of fees, and the practice that I bought had not raised their fees since 2007. So we were really had some low fees to start with, and that has made a huge difference in terms of our production.
It also created some challenges that you had to bring some sales skills in. I know you.
That is very true. And so we learned a little bit about case presentation at the Dynamo, and we are reading a book a month on sales, and have started with the Ron Willingham's book, Integrity Selling, and really have enjoyed going over chapters each week on that, and it's pretty exciting. So,
how's your team responding?
Fun to have my whole.
Go ahead.
They are responding great. It's so fun to come to work in the morning and know that everyone has the same goals that I do. So that makes it a whole lot of fun.
I should point out, too, those of you listening, that Christina got her first degree in fashion merchandising and University of Arizona, and then she worked at Nordstrom for a year. So when she came into the dental practice, it was, how do you bring that Nordstrom quality of customer service to the dental practice? And that's been part of the background as well. And then, of course, we had to get the team on board with those same sales skills. And, that was part of the vision that she was changing in the practice as well, is to get the team on the same board with that level of customer service. So if you were to sum
Absolutely.
Up two things that you've actually put in place, I would throw the bonus system in as one. What would be another thing that you've done to increase the efficiency of that practice and the profitability?
Well, we talked about block booking.
Okay.
So that was another thing that did that, and the bonus system really helps, I think, because then team members really see an opportunity that you almost start to work for them. You become your employee's employee. it's in their best interest to make sure that you are working the whole time, that cases are planned, that everyone's booked and we're booked to goal, so that they can we can reach our bonus and that works well.
That's great. So let's just talk for a moment, and I will fill you in here. The people say, well, so what we've done with this practice, and I think it's a great example of what can be done when a person in a coaching program absolutely follows directions. And of course, Christina had a little bit of advantage. Like she said, she's been in the program for 38 years. But I have to say, and not because she's my daughter, but she has absolutely followed directions. What Pichetti has given her, what I have given him at the Dynamo, the coaching that we have done. And we've literally, in month before last, the production went from $50,000 to $93,000. And in that practice, I believe will do, she will probably break $1 million in the second full year. Now, part of that is absorbing things like a sponge and putting a real clear vision in there. The practice has been very insurance dependent, and she has gradually, she's dropped the smallest insurance companies, and she's moving in that direction. She is a Delta provider, and will probably continue that for some time. And yet, you can still operate very efficiently, and with the overhead for team at 20%, that practice operates at about 55% overhead, so that's really very nice. Now, what is the cost of this coaching program? Well, I say it's the same, about the same as a $17 an hour dental assistant if you pay for it over a two-year period. And we have a program for brand new doctors, 0 to 5 years in practice, called our Silver Program. And what I offer these doctors is a opportunity to evaluate the situation they're getting into and then help them as they get started, make the transition, put the systems in place, and then coach them into successful practice. Now, if you're already established and listening to this phone call, you can also use exactly the same principles, because we have the gold level, which is for doctors between $500,000 and $800,000, and we put all the systems in place, you attend the seminars, and then we have the platinum program for people doing $800,000 and above. But the cost of the program is less than a dental assistant. And people say, well, what's the return on investment? And I guess the way I would answer that question, if for our platinum program, the fee is $47,500. And last year, our platinum members increased their net income between $100,000 and $150,000. And that is after paying for the program. And if I were to ask someone, if you could give me $50,000 and I give you back $100 or $150, how much money would you invest in that program? And that's really what you're doing here, because it will continue to pay from that point forward. So I guess the question is whether you want to be proactive or procrastinate. And I think Christina is an excellent example of someone who became proactive. And she actually had me start looking for a practice almost a year before she graduated, because we wanted to find the right combination of things. And being an associate is really procrastinating. So if any of you are listening to this or are working as associates, complete your obligations there, but start looking for a practice to buy and become more proactive on this. And one of the things that I see in doctors right now is with the economy being a little bit flat, it's easy to go into this hover mode. That is, pull back, don't make any changes. But I advise you that the environment out there around you is changing. And so going into that hover mode or procrastination mode is probably not the most beneficial to you. So I say become very proactive at making your practice grow. I hear people all the time that say, well, I need to ask my spouse or my accountant or my team. And if you were adding a piece of equipment or adding an additional employee, you probably would not ask those people about that. And of course, the question I ask too is, you know, how long has your spouse, your accountant, or your team known that you want to increase your income or reduce the amount of time that you're working, change the nature of your practice, that is, change the type of treatment you're doing? And you see, people reach what I call the ceiling of complexity. Now, if we take Christina's practice today and compare it to where it was 8 months ago, the doctor who was there had hit his ceiling of complexity. And interestingly enough, three of the team members, three were there for the first 6 months, and still two out of the three are there, and that practice had leveled off at $50,000 a month. They were at their ceiling of complexity. They were doing everything they knew how to do, and yet within 6 months of purchasing that practice, Christina has almost doubled the monthly production on that practice. So you see, your team and these other advisors are basically, they're at their ceiling of complexity as well. They don't know how to do it. So I guess the question is, will 2010 be a banner year for you and your practice in your life? So I guess the question then is, what is next for you? If you're interested in what we do, interested in our coaching program, I invite you to go to blatchford.com or respond at info@blatchford. Everyone on this call will receive a thank you note for tomorrow or in tomorrow's email. Watch for it. And if you're interested, we are happy to do a complimentary practice assessment. In other words, you will fill out a questionnaire, and one of our experts will go through that and show you what the potential is. If you would like to speak with me directly, you're welcome to call our office. You can speak to Jeannie at the 541-389-9088, and you can set up an appointment and talk with me for a little bit about your particular situation. Well, Christina, I want to thank you for the opportunity tonight. I know this is a special event for me to be able to interview my own daughter in her successful dental practice, and I appreciate your time, and I hope that this was valuable to those of you listening in, that you can, and if you would like to speak to Christina about any of these things, I'm sure that you could arrange that through our office and ask her.
Sure, that would be just fine, and thank you.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, Christina.